Please join me in the call to worship. May God be among us throughout the day. May Christ be beside us throughout the day. May the Spirit of God be within us throughout the day. May we, as people of God, be at one with the saints in heaven and live in harmony with the triune God. I invite you to stand as you are able and sing Here in This Place, which can be found on the bulletin insert. May be seated. As we gather for a time of confession, we do so together with the knowledge that we all fall short of the mark. Like all other human beings, we stray from the abundant life set before us. But our God sees all and welcomes all. Let us pray together, saying, "We come to you today, gathered as your people, with humble hearts. We know the ways that we have fallen short of being the best of ourselves. We forget to thank others for the ways they have helped us. We have ignored the least among us and failed to be their neighbors. We have filled our homes with too many possessions to the point that they possess us. We need you, Holy God. We need your presence and your guidance to find our way toward the kingdom you have told us about. We need your strength to follow that path. even when it's hard. We need your grace to start again. Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. Friends, God knows the ways that we have impaired others and ourselves from reaching the abundant life. You are forgiven and set by God unto a better path. Receive this grace, celebrate it, and live into the joy that comes from abundant living. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us now pass the peace of Christ to those who have gathered to worship nearby.
So, welcome to First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro. We're glad that you're worshiping with us today. As we gather, we invite you to look for that little pew pad, that's that little vinyl insert. As you see it, if you can, if you're regulars, write your name. If you're visiting and you would like somebody to contact you, please let us know that. We're just glad everybody is here today. We do have large print bulletins and listening devices in the back, and if you need some of that, please partake. Today in worship, you'll note that we have a white rose, and celebrates the birth of Felix Daniel Conway Wilson, and proud Aunt Faye Wilson announced the arrival of her grandnephew. And so, Faye, we celebrate with you on that. Following worship today, we will have coffee fellowship, but if you're a member, we invite you to stay here in the sanctuary because we will have a congregational meeting, as we've noted in a letter and in some bulletin announcements, and the purpose of that meeting is printed in your bulletin, and so we invite you to stay for that. Following the benedictory response, go now in peace. We hope to kind of just go directly into that meeting. Mid-year giving statements are now available in the fellowship hall. Just look for the envelope that has your name. I think they're sorted alphabetically by last name. If you need any corrections, please reach out to Emily in the office or Sherry Plunkett. And we thank you, all of you, who are such generous givers and support this congregation and its ministry and mission. So, following the congregational meeting, there are treats in two places. Is that a great idea or what? So, if you want to join General Coffee Hour, that'll be through these doors. But we have the granddaughters of Val and Jim Watts. Remember, we supported them, helped to support them to go down to Mexico to do some good work there. And they have a short slide presentation that they're going to come and present. And so you can go to the fireside room, and there are snacks there, too. So we invite you to choose which one of those you would like to do. This week, a session is meeting on Tuesday evening at 6. The Relaxed Summer Bible Study is continuing on Wednesday at 6:30. Nominating committee will be Thursday at 2 p.m. So in your bulletin, you'll see a couple of pages that talk about some upcoming events in the life of the church. We are going to be doing the National Night Out again. So some of you helped with that. We do it in the courtyard of our church, and we welcome, and it's part of a national program that many churches, neighborhoods, friends put together. And so ours is going to be a hot dog dinner, and you can volunteer and contribute. There's a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. You can bring dinner items, you can greet people, or lend a hand with setup and cleanup. And also we have on that back table by the exit to the fellowship hall toward the parking lot, if you want to grab a flyer and invite a neighbor to come and join us, you can do that as well. So we're hoping for a good turnout that way. In addition, we are going to have on August 9th, we're going to do our Rise Against Hunger project, where we pack 10,000 meals, Lowell? 10,000 meals, and then they get stored in a warehouse and are ready to go for places where people urgently need the most basic of foodstuffs. And so sign-ups are continuing. We could still use more, so take a look, and we hope that you will sign up for that as well. Okay, so I think that's it for our announcements. I'll invite Sherry Plunkett forward to read our first scripture reading.
Good morning. I will be reading Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 9 from the Common English Bible. And you can find the scripture on page 1035 in the Pew Bible. Let's listen for the word of the Lord. I said to myself, come, I will make you experience pleasure, enjoy what is good. But this too was pointless. Merriment, I thought, is madness, pleasure of no use at all. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, with wisdom still guiding me, until I might see what is really worth doing in the few days that human beings have under heaven. I took on great projects. I built houses for myself, planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself, planting every kind of fruit tree in them. I made reservoirs for myself to water my lush groves. I acquired male servants and female servants. I even had slaves born in my house. I also had great herds of cattle and sheep, more than any who preceded me in Jerusalem. I amassed silver and gold for myself, the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers for myself, along with every human luxury, treasure chests galore. So I became far greater than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Moreover, my wisdom stood by me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Summer Singers. That was lovely, and we know you put that all together right before worship, so great job. It's not too late to join them now that you can see. Yeah. So our second scripture today is taken from Luke chapter 12, and we'll be reading verses 13 through 21, and this involves a parable. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to invite the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' And then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take it easy. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I can't remember if I told you this story, but it's worth hearing a second time if I have. So I had a friend, Erin, a number of years ago, and her dad died quite suddenly. And it was a shock to the family. And as the family scrambled to make arrangements for the memorial service, that they realized that he had worked as the security guard for the preschool at the Jewish Community Center in town. And so they were able to use the center's auditorium for his service, even though they're not Jewish. And so family gathered in town, and she told me that as her uncle, her father's brother, drove down from the Pacific Northwest, he was feeling pretty down, because the brother had had a pretty financially successful life, and Aaron's father hadn't. He lived in a small apartment, had a modest job, and little savings. And the memorial service changed his notion about his brother's life. At the service, 400 people came. 400. Aaron's father, it turns out, was the face of that little preschool, particularly the little preschoolers and their parents. He wasn't the kind of security guard who just sat in his chair. He learned everybody's name, and he greeted them all by name as they walked in. And he helped them carry things out when they needed it. It turned out Aaron's dad had found something very important in the final years of his life. He had found a community that cared about him and loved him just as he had loved them back. And so Aaron's uncle realized that while his brother did not own a nice home or cars that he himself did, his life had been full with meaning. So in continuing today our sermon series on Sabbath, we'll be looking at the notion of simplicity and belongings as a way to create space in our lives. Now, social scientists have discovered in a number of studies over the years that happiness is not so much related to the stuff we own, the things we have, as it is about having experiences. One major finding is that spending money for an experience, be it concert tickets, French lessons, cooking classes, a trip, that those kind of expenditures produce longer-lasting satisfaction than just buying plain old stuff. One professor, Professor Dunn, summing up some of the research on this, says, it's better to go on vacation than buy a new couch, is basically the idea. Now, if you need a couch, that's a different matter, right? So her own take on the subject is in a paper that she wrote with some colleagues, and I love the title of this. If money doesn't make you happy, then you probably aren't spending it right. So, and there's newer research, I just saw this recently, that says that the enjoyment that we get from travel also has to do with pacing it. That a lot of our enjoyment around travel is in the planning and the anticipation of it. So, and then you go on the trip, you have enjoyment there, and then you come back and you tell everybody about it, right? And the thing that you really enjoyed and the thing that was horrible, right? All of those things. And the trick is, according to this research, is to always have a trip in the horizon that you're planning so that you kind of coast from wave over to have the enjoyment of it. So I am encouraging you all, for our Watts girls here today, you need to go to that presentation so they can continue to have the enjoyment of having gone on the trip, okay? Because they need to talk about it. That's part of the goal. So the moral of this story is keep planning new experiences. It doesn't have to be a trip, right? It could be something much smaller. Okay, let's get into our parable today. The gospel story is telling us to not collect too much stuff with the idea that we're going to be able to use it all. This parable is typically called the rich parable of the rich fool, that is, this foolish man who accumulates. He's gone well beyond what he needs for his current luxurious lifestyle, and here's some things to note. So in the first part of that story, a man is asking Jesus to tell his brother to share his inheritance with us, and of course Jesus says, I'm not your arbiter, you know. This is not my job. There were people whose job it was, and it was not his. And then he suspects that there's something deeper at play, right? Because he says something about possessions. And so this particular story, this story of Luke's gospel, is maybe one of the more jarring ones for its original hearers and ourselves as well, because maybe, just maybe, we might relate to the rich. Some of us in this room might relate to the rich man. Many of us have 401ks and retirement accounts, and if you go to your financial investor and they tell you, they do all the scenario thing, right? And then they say, oh, and you're still going to have this much money left over, if you're lucky, right? Not everybody in the room is in that position, I very realize, but some of us are. And so Western society has taught us to dream and enjoy retirement years, and that's pretty real for a lot of people here. And so, you know, it doesn't seem wrong that he wants to have a plan, right, for his own provision so he could relax. And we're not told that he gains his wealth by any especially unjust means. But in his own day, just like with billionaires today, there might be an implied assumption, particularly in Luke's gospel, which is concerned a lot with social justice for the poor, that anyone with great wealth had to make it in some way unjustly. To have that much wealth, there had to be something that was wrong. In addition, in this story, we might want to pay attention to that phrase, eat, drink, and be merry. That goes back to Ecclesiastes, which is the book that Sherry read from for our first scripture reading. And, you know, that's a book that ruminates on living life well and including the accumulation of wealth to enjoy one's time. And so our ear may want to hear how this story ends. What is Jesus's critique of that? Is this rich man wise or foolish? And so we're not told anything especially negative about our rich man until God declares him a fool. And I wonder, and I think it is this, because he seems to assume that he should keep on collecting all of this grain, building bigger and bigger barns, because he's got all the time on the earth and he's going to enjoy it all. He's going to make sure he gets to do it. And assuming how we know that we know how our stories end is hubris, right? We do not know what's going to be coming the next day or the next week. He put his trust in his possessions and not in God. That's what makes him foolish. You know, we don't know. We cannot be certain what is going to come. I once did a memorial service. It was really striking. I still think about it occasionally. And it was a man who was not a member of the congregation I was serving, but they needed a place to hold it. And so they tell me this story. And it turned out, about a week before he died, he was in a near-miss car accident where he could have died if things had gone slightly different. And that was his particular wake-up moment. He realized that he had unfinished business in his own life, people that he had not made amends to, people he had not reached out to. And so he sought out friends and even his ex-wife to put things right, to give apologies and grace. He put his financial affairs in order as well. And so then when death came in the version of a heart attack just about a week later, there was an outpouring of grace and remembrances. There were hundreds of people who came to this memorial services as his final days were recounted. He had trusted in living the abundant life, a life with no regrets. So our parable looks at a story about a man who has so much stuff, so much extra. And so let's now turn to thinking about what happens when a whole culture is built on too much. It seems to be part of our culture today. We actually have businesses that specialize in our too much stuff. You know, the personal storage units. I call it houses for our crap. Right? And I had a period where I was like downsizing, taking all my rest of my family's stuff, and I had one. And yeah, it's its own burden, right? Those of you who have them or have had them. You know, we have other businesses that provide us the means to downsize our stuff too, organizing professionals. And, you know, these days the articles tend to have the flavor about this dilemma is about how we boomers can't find it. Our kids and our grandkids, the younger generations, do not want our stuff. And now we are faced with, what are we going to do with it, right? How do we get ourselves into this? You know, we have this prayer that we pray every week, some of us daily, that says, give us this day our daily bread. And, you know, when we pray that, it's really more conceptual, because I've got enough bread and milk and cheese and fruit and vegetables and meat and cake in my refrigerator, and I can go a week or two before I have to go to the grocery store. How many of us really are in the place in this room that we need to take material comfort of Jesus' worth about God clothing the lilies of the field, which is written in a time when clothing was very expensive. And we have fast fashion where we can buy things and literally throw away the clothes. You know, it doesn't occur to me too often that my unwillingness to make do, you know, to quit shopping just for fun or to use up rather than upgrade or consider other people's needs today before I obsess about what I might need tomorrow. But all of that exacts a cost to our planet's fragile ecology, a cost to the human beings who are forced to work in factories for a very fast and cheap fashion, to those who have to manage the impact of my sometimes thoughtless purchases, and a cost on my soul. And then we've got this generational divide in this country and maybe others. You know, we've got seniors who often have larger homes that now have fewer people in them. And then we have younger generations, sometimes their children and grandchildren, who have no opportunity to purchase a home because real estate has gotten so darn expensive. I'm sure you can think of people you know who are in that spot. And so these kinds of issues can create anxiety and worry. Seniors who worry about their kids and how are they going to make it? How can they help? Seniors who are like, I've got too much house, but I don't know if I can afford, given tax laws, to give up my house at this point. And so we feel anxious about our lives, and anxiety often can breed isolation. And then it becomes symbiotic when the isolation then nourishes our anxieties. You know, I think a lot of us during the pandemic might be familiar with that kind of spiral. Hopefully we're moving out of that a few years down. As I noted earlier, current research suggests, unlike consumption of material goods, spending on fun things and services that connect us will strengthen our social bonds together, and that increases our happiness. And so anything that can promote our connections to one another, that can promote our time spent with one another in thoughtful and fun ways, that's a good chance of helping us live that abundant life that Jesus calls us to. And here's a note of irony. You know, the creation of our complex relationships is a rare thing in the species of the natural world. And here's what scientists have pointed out. Only termites, naked mole rats, and certain insects like ants and bees construct social networks as complex as those of human beings. That's a surprising list to me. And here's the irony. In that elite little group, we humans are the only ones who shop. So I've suggested one of the ways out of this dilemma is to reduce our purchases of new stuff, finding ways to find good homes for our old stuff. There's one group that decades ago decided to take action around the biggest shopping day of the year. What's the biggest shopping day of the year? Y'all knew, Big Black Friday, good. And so the name Black Friday, it's not because it's terrible, right? You think black. It's because that was the day most businesses had enough sales that they would end up being profitable, that is, in the black, through the end of the year with the shopping year. So it had to do with accounting, just so you know. So there was a group that has worked on this for years. I don't think they've gotten very far, but you are invited to participate this year. And it's called Buy Nothing Day. And so on this day that is devoted to rampant consumerism, you are invited to literally buy nothing on that day. So I invite you to think about that as that day comes up this Thanksgiving. There are some other ways in which families are trying to figure out new ways of bridging this economic divide of the generations, as well as seniors finding ways to get into more right-sized space. My cousin Marie is in that journey right now. One of her daughters bought a house that was literally a fence away in her neighborhood, along with her other daughter. And between all of the families, Marie is basically getting an ADU, accessory dwelling unit, used to call them granny flats, built out of part of the garage. So she's going to be moving, so they're building her little granny flat, and then one of her daughter's family is going to take the rest of her house to live in, and then the other house is with the other family, and there's complicated finances that I'm not privy to, but it all works. And so they're still in the construction phase. But what they've already begun to do is the kind of thing I think God imagines for us, which is now they have two nights a week that are the joint family dinner nights. So one day a week, one of the families cooks, the other night, the other family. So everybody gets a night off of cooking, and they are building connections more. The little grandsons are, going back and forth through the fence to go and play with each other and have more community and more life. Another thought is when we are hitting those holiday times, maybe it's Christmas, maybe it's birthdays, many families are now buying fewer stuff things if the kids don't really need more stuff, and instead giving subscriptions and tickets to events that create memories. So that, again, we're building connection and not building a bigger barn to hold our stuff. So all of these things are invitations to that fuller life. A fuller life with less stuff, which means less time to take care of and maintain what we own, and more time for rest, creativity, and social connections. Those are at the heart of Sabbath. So, I invite you to think this week, what are three items you could let go of now that you could go and find a home for? Maybe you would sell it, maybe you would donate it, maybe you would give it away. What is one experience that you could plan with a friend or a family member? Something that you would do together to create more connection? And what is one new creative thing you might make? Three items you could let go of, an experience to plan with a friend or a family member, something you might make. As you do this, you are tapping into that creative power that God has created for our world and living into the promise of the Sabbath. Amen. Our hymn of response today is Morning Has Broken, which imagines God's recreation of the new day every day. I invite you to stand for hymn number 469.
You may be seated. Giving of tithes and offerings is one way we respond to what we have received from God. Giving back a portion of what we have been given expresses our gratitude for God's abundant love, while reflecting his character to the world and investing in God's kingdom. As the ushers come forward, let us give with open hearts, knowing that we are making a difference in the world that God has entrusted to us. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, we struggle with collecting and accumulating. In this past year, there were times when we gathered much and have failed to share with those in need. Help us to understand your creation is meant for all living things to thrive, not for some to hold more than they require. Help us to live into creative and connected moments with creation, each other, and you, where we stop looking at our phones and our devices and instead live into that space, breathing deep your spirit, being thankful for those present and for what we have. As we gradually realign our lives, call us into your pace of life. Help us to find your rhythm, where we let go of hoarding more than we need and instead live into your Sabbath gift. Today we pray for places in our world that are in deep need. Floods in Texas, storms in the Northeast, prairie fires in Canada, and dangerous smoke and air quality in much of the North American continent. And so we are thankful for our first responders and for those who will help people and animals affected by these challenges. We pray for the places where hostility and war reign, for Israel and Gaza, Lebanon, Iran, and the wider Middle East. Your peace seems far away. So we pray that the peacemakers will prevail and people will be able to live in harmony. In our faith community, we pray for those among us who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, those who are grieving the loss of a loved one or a home that one has had to leave. We pray for those who are seeking employment and for those who want to retire, and for those who are seeking how to live their lives beyond work. Help us to be present to those who are the lonely ones among us and are in need of a listening ear. And may we, in the name of Christ, who called us to live differently, be willing to become the last of all, the servant of all. May we learn to love one another and to live as your children. We pray all of this in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So friends, we now have the opportunity to sing our closing hymn, Let All Things Now Living, which has the theme of connection with all of God's creation. Please stand as we sing hymn 554. So friends, go with the deep peace of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the air, quick as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you all. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.